D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
There you go. Welcome in. Another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live from the SEC Sports Pub. With me today, Tomas Mauricio to my left in the booth, Tyler Kistner, making sure everything sounds good. Listen, we have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yep.
So I think we're going to, you know, we always going to have our jokes.
But, you have a joke? But you ready for one?
Yeah, you were supposed to have one from last week.
Well, I told you one from last. I don't remember now what the
other
one
was. Okay, good. I kind of set you up there. Yeah, so, hey.
I'll think of one. I, you know, I know so many jokes, so it's all right.
From Ruston to Monroe, yep. Farmerville to Jonesboro, grab a drink, sit back, relax, because we're about to do 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the SEC Pub, BS and Beer style. Listen,
that's the only style. But go ahead.
Huh?
That's the only style.
That's the only style.
Yeah.
See, what I'm trying to bring in, remember that one kid that had his own dance? It's like Asian kid that couldn't dance at all and – What? Come on, help me out, Tyler. The something
guy who
style.
Sang?
Or maybe it's a song.
The Gangnam Style?
Yeah, that's
yes!
it.
Yes.
Yeah, we're replacing Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style.
Okay. So today, we're going to talk a little bit. What's funny is we had what most considered the dress rehearsal, game 3 of the preseason.
No.
The Saints come out with a 36-7 victory over the Chargers. Having said that,
and don't forget Atlanta lost. But go ahead.
And that's important too. I'm sure you see what's funny is I don't play to the crowd like that. Man, that's good. We probably just got another 500
another
listeners.
Couple of hits.
That's yeah. Just from saying that. People
that's
love
right.
it.
That's right.
But you know, Breeze started off seemed to be a little rusty. You know, he hadn't had any snaps in preseason. Something I want to talk about a little bit, you know, some of these slow starts we have. Could it be that maybe, you know, just not enough practice reps or not enough game reps going into the season? But hold your thoughts on that.
All right, I'm holding them.
We have some defensive linemen still. More stuff to talk about. We have a hotline call.
Oh!
Yep.
What dice. Is that number, by the way, Dave?
701-901-1295. That's the graffiti hotline. Give us a call while we're talking about it.
Yeah.
You can email us.
Oh, what's that email address?
BSandBeer at iCloud.com.
Okay.
And they can get in touch with us. We actually have an email that we can talk about, too.
Oh,
Cornell. So. You know, I think he's calmed down the first two or three times. He's talking about burning things down. I think in this day and age, we
slow it down a little bit.
Slow it down.
A little calm, right?
Maybe we just stomp on it or something. Nah, we don't need to burn it down.
No exploding e-cigarettes. Go ahead.
Davenport. Yeah. Marcus Davenport, our first-round draft pick. We invested a lot into getting this guy.
Yeah.
And all we heard about how raw he was, all we heard about was, you know, kind of came away with the impression that he won't be helping us out much this year. But he gets into his first game action, and – He plays lights out. He
Baldinger already broke that down.
Did he really do? I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. I haven't seen it. Matter of fact, it almost makes me want to, you know, just pause everything and go watch it.
Yeah,
yeah, he does a good job with that stuff.
Yeah.
But now listen, it's just a preseason game, but he was playing against starters. Anyway, all of it needs to be discussed because I think it's exciting. Matter of fact,
we might have to go to that extra show.
Oh, yeah, the extra show you're talking about.
That's right. So if you're interested, just don't forget, we have a special subscription to the bonus hour.
We don't, but go ahead.
The bonus hour is available to you. Very simply, it's all about Bitcoin.
It's Bitcoin. Listen, if you haven't figured this out yet, Tomas, he's running a scam. What he's doing, I can already see.
It's not a scam.
Well, he's not going to make the investment.
For the season opener, okay, for game one.
Listen, the problem is, see, he's trying to get everybody, first of all, he confuses them. Because he knows I'm confused about the whole Bitcoin situation. Like one Bitcoin is worth. Tyler, there it is. What's the Bitcoin rate today?
One Bitcoin is now over $7,000.
There you go. There you go.
See, so
your subscription of $19.99 would only cost you 0.0028.
There you have it.
There you go.
There you have it. And it's just the first payment is the $19.99, 0.0028. Then we back down to $9.99.
Right.
So it's just your first month. After that, it's all maintained at $9.99 a month.
I mean, here's the thing. You sound way too serious. Like I think you've convinced yourself that we actually have a show that people go pay for.
0.0015 for all the other months. 0.0028 right. for the first
I'm
month.
I'm telling you, he's there confused you with the math. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Now that you confuse everybody.
I'll follow up on that on the next show. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Now you got me all discombobulated here. Listen, why don't we go ahead and get the show started?
Let's get this show on the road.
And we got
brother.
A lot of Saints talk.
Go ahead.
Right now.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night, here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
Well, Tomas.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, I feel like you've really embraced the Bitcoin. So, does that mean that there's not going to be any more Don Bobo? I mean, Don Bobo actually did something for the Saints. They were 0-2 when we brought them up last year, and we turned to Don Bobo for some spiritual help.
Don Bobo.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now. Here's what I'm willing to do.
Okay, man. I'm just trying to make some chit-chat conversation, and he's over here cutting deals, and it's going to take him another 10 minutes. Of explaining Bitcoin.
I'm not going to explain Bitcoin. I'm just simply going to say that I will be happy to donate 10% of everyone's initial Bitcoin payment okay. for the subscription.
All right. How about this?
I gave it to you.
How about we're going to start using Bitcoin to describe our players?
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
So, like, how many? Cameron Meredith.
Cameron Meredith, he's falling down on the Bitcoin. I'm sorry.
The Bitcoin, are we going to have like a sliding scale?
He's not $19.99 anymore. He's not no 0.0028 anymore.
Listen, I'm a little concerned.
I'm sorry.
I'm not overly concerned.
I am.
I'm a little concerned he may not contribute early, but I think that he's still going to contribute a lot to the team.
He might contribute to another team.
No, that ain't happening. I've heard that a couple of places. You know, listen, we
go out. Let me ask you a question.
Hang on. We go out and read. Hang on.
Go ahead.
We go out and we read everything. We listen to everything.
That's right. I do.
So that you guys don't have to.
That's correct.
That's our job.
All you have to do is follow this one.
We gather all the information, all the opinions.
Matter
of fact, we got John Hendrickson come in a little later and give us his thoughts. Listen, we do it so you don't have to. I'm reading and I'm seeing things on the internet about getting rid of Cameron Meredith.
Yeah.
I just can't see it. They just paid for the guy. They knew he had an injury.
Yeah.
You think they're going to get rid of him already?
Well, I didn't say I thought about it. I'm just saying that these are some thoughts that are out there.
Right. I read those too.
You see? And I'm just saying, hey, I would say this to you. If somebody came and said, you know, we give you a third round draft pick for Meredith, I might say, okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
If they said a 6th round draft pick, I said, well, you know, you can go plant that with, you know.
Okay, so then let me ask you, what has not necessarily changed your mind? Because I'm not saying that I don't recall you either being a huge fan or not a fan of the move, but who has relaxed your mind that we can do without Cameron Meredith right now?
Well, because I think right now, from what I've seen, I believe it's pretty cut and dry that the two big guys are going to be on this wide receiving core are going to be Michael Thomas and Tre'Quan Smith. Okay. I think, without a doubt, these are the two guys that are going to excel at this particular in all our offensive plays.
Okay.
So that's two right there. I still don't think we get rid of Ginn yet. I think he stays one more year to make sure and help somebody like Tre'Quan Smith learn the game. Okay.
Right.
So then I'm down like to, well, we're only going to keep 5. I'm down to only 2 picks to the left. Well, one of them is going to be Tate because Tate is going to win the
return
job. So now I'm down
to
1.
Okay.
So now when I go down to 1, I start looking at what we have and what we need. So where is the Lance Moore type receiver?
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
And this kid that played a lot this last week, remember, they kept him the entire season last year on the team because the coaches like something about him.
Right. Well,
so
I tell you what,
saying.
We can talk a little bit more about Austin Carr when we get back. It's 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Hey, this is Dave, man. As most of you guys know, I'm not a big gambler. It's not so much that I'm opposed to it. I'm just really bad at it. But, you know, I still like to put a little coin down just to make the games interesting. So I go to mybookie.com. That's the place I go to put my bets down. These guys, every time I bet, I get paid. Well, that's when I win. But anyway, look, that's why I urge you to go to mybookie.com. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding perks in the business, and it's all for you. Hey, for instance, like me, I love fantasy, man. You go, you can make bets on individual players and whether how many points they'll score that week. Hey, if you're like me and you just want to put a little something on the game just to keep your interest in it, go to mybookie.com. That's where I go. That's my stuff right there. Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Tomas Mauricio, Dave Romero, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Tomas, when I left off, yes, we were talking about Austin Carr.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden,
and listen, if you would have said this to me 2 weeks ago, I would have just laughed at you.
Right.
Now all of a sudden, this Austin Carr thing, I mean, look, he's kind of been quiet, and all of a sudden during the game, and again, it's the biggest dress rehearsal of the preseason, the guy looked,
he ran good routes.
Yeah, caught everything. Yep. Yeah.
You know, the only thing they say is a little weak on blocking.
Right. But, well, he's a smaller guy.
Right. But I was going to say Lance Moore and Willie Snead weren't exactly, you know.
Right. They're not beasts in the blocking game and in the run game.
My thought was, if we're only keeping five receivers, then where is the possession guy? Where is the Lance Moore? Where is the Willie Snead? Well, so now I'm going to tell you, I don't know when we're going to do this, but I mean, I've got every position, every player, and when I sat down and tried to cut it down to 53, remember last week I gave you sort of a what I thought at that point, right?
Okay.
But it wasn't really anything because I hadn't seen everybody and really analyzed. Now I've spent some time analyzing everybody through here. And I'm telling you, I can get down to 63, but getting to 53, man.
So you think there's maybe 10 guys that could find a home either on the practice squad or somewhere else?
I'm saying there's 10 guys that when we cut them, they won't make the practice squad. They won't make it through waivers.
Right.
They're going to be picked up. Hmm. And that's, you know, if you think back, you know, I can't ever remember the Saints getting to this point where they're the cut players and more than maybe one is picked up by somebody else.
Well, and that's the thing. Every year we have the camp beast and, oh, this guy, oh, there's no way you can cut him. And they always make it through. Very rarely do guys.
So I agree. I don't see that's going
to
happen.
I don't know, and I'd have to look at your list. And we'll go over that at the bottom of the hour.
Sounds good.
Well, one of the things is that this year, you know, I'm the one that's usually saying, no, they'll get. There are a lot of guys who will be picked up by other teams because the one thing that most folks don't realize when you're this good, there are a lot of teams. We can't afford to keep a lot of developmental people on the roster because we have good players and we're aspiring for big things.
Right.
But there are other teams out there that win 3 games, 4 games, 6 games that are like, listen, that guy improves our roster. So we are now at the point where our depth, because that's what I would say during the Charger game. The Charger game, we did not – the play of the first quarter, let's say, the first team, is not indicative of the final score. But what it is indicative of is the depth on our roster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt that our second and third stringers were better than their second by a lot.
Absolutely. And so – and that says something, because usually even in the past when we had solid teams, and I say in the past, last 10 years or so – you know, there were times when our team wasn't great. We would do okay in the first quarter. So then all of a sudden, the second quarter, how many times we just sit there doing like, man, this is hard to watch.
Yep.
And then we end up losing. You know, we get outscored 17-3 in the second half. Or it's because our backups just simply aren't good enough.
And you know you're going to have injuries during a season. And if you look at the championship teams, you know, their number twos might not be as good as the ones, but the drop-off's not a lot.
Right.
You know, where in the past for us, there was a big drop-off between our twos and ones.
Well, you don't appreciate that in things like in the fourth quarter when Cam Jordan is on his, let's say, you know, has played all but 2 snaps on defense.
Right, there's no rotation,
and
no
you
break.
Need some pass rush.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you can't, like, you just can't justify putting in a guy where the talent gap is so big.
Sure, sure.
Now, all of a sudden, you have guys that you say, man, we can give him a blow.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, he has just a little bit more gas in the tank.
Exactly, exactly.
One of the guys that, okay, so start off kind of quiet, Hendrickson.
Yeah.
He started off kind of quiet in preseason and started being a buzz. And then last week, game two, played pretty well, had made some plays. So all of a sudden, here comes game three, and his deficiencies, all of a sudden, they pop up. And the deficiencies are in the run game. And it was just so obvious. on the first drive, maybe the first and second drive, that he just he does not have the base to stand up against the run. Now, I got real critical on him there. I want to say what I saw of him in the passing game just tells me that, man, he's not really a base package guy. You don't want him in there on rundowns. But, man, the improvement as a pass rusher, outstanding. But I do not think the Saints can have him in the lineup as a starter on rundowns.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit.
Okay.
And this is why. Because the Saints had played the Chargers three consecutive days in a row. And even though they weren't scheming for, you know, a real game, I'm quite certain that the Chargers were like, hey, you know, we're going to run the ball. And here's where we're going to run the ball. Because we saw this, you know,
right,
during the games we were playing. So I think they picked on him, whereas maybe during a regular season, it won't be so obvious that right. they pick on him, you know.
And
so, and again, this brought to the play of the game for our Davenport, for our rookie, because on a running play, he got pushed to the outside. And when the running back tried to make that cut back, all of a sudden, Davenport goes, oh, heck, wait a second. And he reached out with that arm, grabbed that guy, swung all the way around and was parallel to the floor, to the
right,
ground,
right, right,
and brought him down. And
the athleticism, Davenport displayed things that you just don't see a lot, and it just makes
you
realize.
Can't coach. See, these are things you can't coach.
Absolutely. That's one. And, okay, I'd like to pat myself on the back a little bit. About Davenport, and I guess we can jump into the Davenport talk now.
Sure.
Here's the thing. I said that we may not see the results in the sack numbers, but what we will see is athletic plays. And what I was talking about is like, you know, Cam Newton, he drops back, he runs out of the pocket, and he starts getting flushed. Well, in the past, he would just get to the sideline, throw the ball away, or maybe even make a play down the field. Now, all of a sudden, you have a guy like Davenport chasing him. Yeah, he may not get the sack, but he gets there, and he's disruptive enough where
yes. –
Cam Newton can't make a play or
right.
can't take off running. And what we saw –
And he's
that,
big enough, too, that he can, you know,
can actually tackle him. Right.
Well, not only that, but just get in the way of the passing
Oh,
lanes.
Yeah. Man, along the wingspan.
Yes, exactly.
And the thing about it is the reach. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was just – he demonstrated on that reverse.
Yes.
Just
yes.
athleticism that just made me realize that he's going to be an asset even if he doesn't have – and this was my thoughts, you know, not much after they drafted him. Now, all of a sudden, if you take, let's just extrapolate some stuff, and this was a conversation that I had with a friend of mine. 15 plays, half sack, two pressures, one tackle for loss. Now, I don't have the tackles at all. Maybe I know he had, unless
it's only 15 plays.
And that's 15 plays. If you extrapolate that, you figure there's about 90 plays in an NFL football game. Means 45 defensive plays.
So just say he just doubles that. Just say he takes 30 instead of 15.
If he doubles that, now, all of a sudden, you're talking about, what is that, 8 sacks, you know, let's see, 16 tackles for losses, you know, 32
I'll take
pressures.
That for rookies?
No, man, the point is that I thought he had a nice game, and it actually took my buddy Wesley to say to me, like, do you realize if you extrapolate those numbers, he didn't have a nice game.
He had an
all-world, all-pro. Yeah. Now, listen, let's not be silly here. Yeah. I don't expect that
to
happen.
He's still a rookie. He's still got things to learn. I could pick out things that he didn't do good in those 15
and
snaps.
You know what? Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And that's going to happen a lot. And that might be some of the problem is that, like, oh, he'll make a play, but then the next thing you know, he takes a bad angle. He doesn't squeeze down on a certain running play. Next thing you know, running back's taking off for 30 yards.
Right.
And
right.
so the point is there are going to be mistakes made. But what it shows you is that all this talk, he is raw. Huh. But I think that people misunderstand what the meaning of raw.
Yes.
How do you define raw? Yeah. Okay, so his technique isn't amazing. He doesn't have 6 pass rushing moves and the ability to counter a pass rush move that looks like one and becomes something else. But that doesn't mean the guy can't play football.
Right.
I don't think he's raw as a guy that can get on the field, be strong, fast, quick, athletic. So I think that the raw thing, I think, got everybody nervous. And it's, again, how do you define raw? He's not raw in terms that he won't be able to play. He's just raw in terms of being able to take that amazing athleticism and actually maximize it with great technique.
Okay, so I'll give you an example. The guy that you really like, Onyemata.
Right.
When he first came in, it's the same thing was said. Oh, he's raw. You know, he hasn't played enough of the game, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Did he or did he not contribute the first year?
Onyemata, yeah, he played
did.
The first year. He
okay.
contributed.
Wasn't great.
No, he didn't make plays. But
he still contributed.
Right.
Now, and they said he was raw. So I'm going to say this to you. If Onyemata was raw, then Davenport's maybe medium rare.
Right. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I think it's a little bit ahead of where Onyemata was his first year. So
I would probably say a lot ahead.
I'm being conservative and say a little bit ahead. But a little bit ahead, I'm telling you, I wouldn't be surprised to see as the season progresses, he does. Four sacks.
Man, there's nothing wrong with a little bit ahead. So,
you know,
as long as Davenport plays the way, and I shouldn't even say it, as long as he's out there and he's using his athleticism to be disruptive, even in the run game, his quickness, there was one play where he closed down, and I don't know if looking at the stats, if that was considered the tackle for loss, but he basically came from the end position, crashed down, hit the running back.
I think it was that one. I think it was another one where the guy came
around. So I don't even have his tackles. If I look on here and find out he has three tackles, then you extrapolate that throughout the season.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, the point is I think that he's going to offer a lot more throughout the season than what I was expecting.
And not only offer a lot for himself, but by being a force, that's going to allow Cam Jordan and the interior linemen more opportunity as well.
Absolutely. It's free. The thing about it is you know how much one-on-one he's going to get with Cam Jordan on the other side?
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to have opportunities to make plays solely by his athleticism.
And if they have to chip somebody, you're not going to chip Jordan. They're not going to chip him.
Absolutely.
So there you
have it. And here's the other thing. We haven't talked about, because it's been a little bit quiet, is the interior guys. Man, if you get the improvement from Rankins and Onyemata that we're expecting – if Davenport is, again, what were you expecting? Were you a guy that expected too much to begin with? Are you a guy that, you know, was reasonable about your expectations? But if we get a solid performance, athleticism, we know we're going to get athleticism. We'll get some mistakes, but we're going to get athleticism on the field.
Right.
You know, if the guy can get in there and
as long as his technique continues to prove throughout the 16 games.
This is, and I'm not even going to pretend like it's my sole thought, because I've heard so many people say it. Their numbers might be a little different, but the point is going into the season, you know, he's going to be raw. What you're hoping is that, okay, he has two sacks the first 10 games, and then, you know, all of a sudden four sacks the last six games, because he keeps improving.
Well, if he has two the first 10 and two the last six, that's an improvement.
Right, right.
And that's four. And if he gets four during the season, I'd say that was a winning season.
Absolutely. And then, but here's the key to it, to extrapolate a little bit further. If going into the playoffs, he's now a guy that has significantly improved development and technique and pass rushing improvement. Now, all of a sudden, listen, you might say, man, look, he only had four sacks the whole season or five sacks the whole season. But going into the playoffs, nobody's going to be able to treat him like a five-sack guy, because let's use George Johnson, for instance. George Johnson's a five-sack guy. Going into the playoffs, you know what he is? He's a five-sack guy, and that's how he'll be treated. But if what we're talking about happens, now you go into the playoffs, and now Davenport has to be looked at as a threat, which opens opportunities for everybody else in the
line. Exactly.
And so I just see
– and the linebacking core.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just see this being something that his development is going to be key for this team. And now looking at some of the things I saw, and then, you know, is we have guys that I'm not sure they're going to be ready yet in Okafor, because we just didn't see a lot of them. There was a little setback with the bone bruise. You know, how long is
it's great that he came out there and he practiced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but practice isn't a game. You know, so I'm glad that they said, no, you're not going to play the game. You just sit out. That's fine. You know,
he's a veteran. He'll be fine.
Yeah,
he'll be fine.
Yeah.
And I'd rather him be healthy.
Right.
Than
and
go
then
out
there were a couple of people who sat out that I wasn't aware sat out, and so
who specifically?
Peanut butter and jelly. Because the first time that Williams came up, the name Williams came up, I thought, PJ, really? I didn't see that. And then I realized, hey, that's not peanut butter and jelly.
That's Marcus.
That's Marcus Williams, the cornerback.
Right, right.
Not the safety.
Marcus Williams.
Now we got all these Williams on this team.
Well, we already had a lot of Williams. Now we're even going into duplicating the first name.
Yeah, right.
So Marcus Williams, he had an interception in the game, returned one for a touchdown. Speaking of interception for touchdowns, Robinson had one, but it was called back for a penalty.
Because Williams, they said, we got there too early. I've looked at it again.
No.
It's awfully close, you know, for him being there a little early. So, but what I will tell you is this. His play in this game, cornerback Marcus Williams, now brings in the question even more, who are going to be the final cornerbacks on this team?
There's going to be some good players.
I can get down to 63.
Well,
those last 10, though, you're like – man, how many are we going to keep in that position?
Here's the thing, too, Tomas, is that you also have so much youth, and there's going to have to be a mixture. Like, there are going to be guys who they might cut, like, let's say P.J. Williams. Let's just use him as an example. He might be a little bit better a cornerback, but when you went and drafted two guys, Latrell Jamison seems to be playing decent, and I'm not even suggesting that at this point he's better than P.J. Williams, but you can't just go out and draft a bunch of guys and cut them.
Well, but now here's the thing. We drafted P.J. the third.
No, I know.
Okay.
I know, but.
And Jamison and Moore, fourth and fifth.
I get it, but so wouldn't you say at this point, I get that you spent a third on him. And listen, I'm a fan. I say I'm a fan. Because we spent a third, I want him to be successful.
Yes.
But having said that, sooner or later, you run out of your goodwill. You exhaust all your goodwill, and it's like, I get it, you're a third, but this guy here is on your heels, and he's a rookie, and we got to give him a shot. So at some point.
Plus, if you cut him, they're not going to make it through waivers. I mean, that's the whole thing. You know, in the past when we say, oh, am I going to make it? We knew that, yeah, he's going to make it through waivers. We're going to sign it. But this time we really have people that you can't really depend on them making it through waivers.
I feel
when we talk about it, I'll get you some more specifics.
All right. Hey, listen, when we come back, we're going to have John Hendricks with his first of his weekly contributions to the show. So you won't want to miss that. But when we come back, John Hendricks, then we're going to talk some more Saints football.
I'm good.
Me and you, we said we had to do something. I'm sure I wrote it down somewhere. We'll figure
Bitcoin.
It out, right? 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll come back with John Hendricks when we get back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, welcome back. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. As I've had them on all last year, we're going to have them back this year, John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. John, welcome in for a new year of Saints football.
Hey, man, I'm glad to be here. It took us a while to get here, but we're finally here, right?
Right. We were talking off the air about just how I need to find other hobbies in the Saints because this time of year I get so excited. It's so much fun hanging out with friends, doing all those things that you do when it's football season. And, you know, once summer comes around, I kind of wish my summer away to get to football season. So now it's here. John, the first thing I want to do is get your input, just the general ongoings of the Saints. What direction do you see relative to last year? Tell us about your thoughts on the Saints of 2018.
Well, look, I think obviously you look at last year and how it ended. I mean, obviously so abruptly and not really how anybody wanted to, of course. And now that's forever cemented in history, if you will. But look, I think, you know, you have two options when you take a bad beat like that. You can either crawl into a hole and feel sorry for yourself, or you can do what the Saints have kind of done and just, you know, rally past it and focus on what's more important and getting the season right. You know, Marcus Williams, I think as soon as that game was over, he went directly to the gym and stayed there all off season.
That's what I heard.
Mike Thomas was kind of the same way. Alvin Kamara was the same way. I mean, you know, these guys got a little bit of taste of what it was like to be great. And, you know, I know the mentality for this team is, hey, we want to win this one for Drew. And, look, I think for what the Saints have been able to accomplish over the past several years, they have a young team that's very hungry, and they only built on it. And, you know, look, Sean Payton, I think he's a lot more relaxed these days, but still focused on the end goal. And I think he's got his players' backs more than anyone that he's had in the past, probably.
Well, and you know, it sounds good that the Saints, a lot of times the problems with these teams, especially with young guys, is that they don't understand how hard it is to win. And so they have a good season. Then the next year they come back, you know, and it's just not the same mental sharpness. It's not the same dedication. It came too easy to them. And based on the things that I've seen, the things that I've read that you've written on the Canal Street Chronicles, and just what you said there, you know, it's you have these young guys who have completely bought in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you think about last year. This is a team that started 0-2, and we're thinking, oh boy, here it goes again, all this other stuff. But to rattle off 8 straight, finish 7-1 at home, get a wild card win at home. I mean, you know, you just look at this team, how it's made up, and, you know, you look at back in a few years ago when they had the Junior Gallettes or the Brandon Browners or Jimmy Grahams, all these head cases in the locker room. I mean, this is a team that is completely rebuilt. They fixed a lot of things. I mean, when Peyton last year, when he got rid of, you know, McMahon, Vint, and Bill Johnson. I think that was a breath of fresh air for this team to get ignited. And look, I think it lines up with their slogan, right? Because they're a Super Bowl favorite. They're a heavy favorite, depending on who you talk to. And their slogan, prove them right, is something that they want to cling to. And I think there's a sense of pride, but there's also a sense of dedication and hard work that they know they got to put in to win this thing.
Absolutely. Hey, so Les, a couple of positions that I think have become, especially here after the third preseason game, that have become pretty interesting, where now, where I kind of dismissed it, I think that there might be some names that we're used to seeing or expected to see going into the offseason or going into training camp that now we won't see. First of all, I'm going to talk a little bit about defensive tackle. I think, you know, Sheldon Rankins and David Onyemata, they have been outstanding, and it looks like they are moving towards that next level at their position. Now, here's where things start getting a little dicey, is because kids like Lawrence and Stallworth are playing really well, and their snap counts are high. And what does that mean for Tyler Davison, if anything?
I would honestly look into it and say that, you know, look, the guy like Devereaux Lawrence, however you want to pronounce it,
right,
and Taylor Stallworth, an undrafted guy, look, these guys are making the most of it, and they want to make an impression. So at the end of the day, would it surprise me if they would say, hey, Tyler, you know, we appreciate what you've done, but we like the guys that we got already, you know, the high motor, because you know, I see the same thing. You know, I don't see Davison standing out as much. I know he's been rotating with the first team, but, you know, they're giving their shots to Stallworth and Lawrence to make this team. And look, for those guys, I think it's going to come down to that fourth preseason game. But I would feel good about, you know, any of those three. I've really enjoyed what I've seen out of them. And look, I'll give you another one. Just a wild card is Mitchell Leah, and he's a guy who can play inside and outside. And I would think that, you know, if they look at putting Lane as an interior guy potentially, then they might only have to keep Lawrence or Stallworth, or that might be the situation they walk into. But we'll see.
Okay, well, here, let's move on to wide receiver. Another position that I thought going into the season, it's really that there's not much lineup to crack into. You know, you're either one of the guys who the Saints planned on, and barring injury, you didn't have much of a shot. But after Saturday night's game, now all of a sudden it's names are starting to pop up that you really didn't consider before. And so now I'm thinking to myself, okay, a guy like Michael Thomas, lock in, he's your go-to guy. Then Cameron Meredith, been a little bit slow, but understandable. He's coming off of major knee issues. And then you have a guy coming back from last year, Ted Ginn, thank you. That all of a sudden I'm starting to hear a little buzzing. Now, I'm not saying from anybody who actually knows anything, but the word, you know, people are starting to talk about whether or not he's gonna make the team even.
Well, look, I kind of have the same questions, just because, you know, Peyton, the most he's talked about is just Ginn not running the right routes or not the right assignments, which obviously is a little bit concerning. You know, are you gonna read too much? I don't know, but at the same time, this is a Saints team that's trying to assemble the best 53 possible. And like you, I would have put Ted Ginn as absolute. Yeah, you know, you got, and that's kind of how I saw it. It's Mike Thomas, Meredith, you had Ginn, and then Tre'Quan Smith is kind of the four. And, you know, do they keep five or six? You know, with the way Brandon Tate's playing, maybe he's that sixth guy. So maybe there's only one spot up for grabs. But look, you know, you got Austin Carr who's coming on and heating up at the right time. Tommy Lee Lewis has been around and such. So, and he's a Peyton player that he, you know, kind of one of those guys he loves. And so, look, I don't know if you say now that, you know, you got two spots potentially that people are fighting for, and maybe there's even somebody on the outside that could potentially present itself. But, you know, a position that we thought was really good and really depthful, full of depth, you know, it suddenly seems like we don't know what's going to happen when it's all said and done.
You know, there's another guy who now, and I'm hearing his name quite a bit, and is Michael Floyd. And here's a guy who's played in big games. He has first round talent, so he's not like some guy that, you know, but he came in camp late, and now all of a sudden it's starting to sound like he's starting to get the playbook. He's starting to understand what's going on, getting in sync with Drew Brees, and I'm starting to hear his name. I'm starting to hear guys talking about him as a potential roster spot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's another one as a, I don't want to say long shot, but a guy, a wild card on the outside looking in. And, sure, you know, a guy that I think about, too, is Keith Kirkwood. He kind of had a good start to camp and kind of fell off a little bit, if you will. So, and again, this is why people think, oh, well, the fourth preseason game is meaningless, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it really isn't, because, you know, you got probably a good 40 guys on the roster that you could say these guys have a spot. And that final 13, maybe it's 10 more or less, you know, there's going to be a lot of position change up and just the way they look at them based on their performance. And, you know, even if you come out and perform extremely well, doesn't mean you're guaranteed of anything. But, you know, look, it'll be encouraging for sure. And, you know, people forget that the roster cut down, you don't go from 90 to 75 to 53 anymore. Right. You just go 90 to 53. So, you know, you're going to have a lot of player movement.
That makes the last game of preseason, which is, if I'm not mistaken, Thursday night, it makes it a little bit less intriguing, a little bit less interesting because, man, the Saints won't have to, neither team will have to put a player on the field that they actually expect to start on, you know, opening day. I mean, the rosters are at the normal level of 90 when, you know, at this point they had cut down to, what, 75, I believe?
Well, they do 90. They do 90, and then they cut down after that. So when you go to this season, it'd be 53 plus 10 on the practice squad.
Right. But as of now, we have 90. And so basically, where in the past you might get some guys in the fourth preseason game that out of necessity, they have to put them on the field so that,
yep,
you know, now, man, it's just going to be basically a big old Saints backup showcase for perhaps another team might want to see them, with maybe a handful of exceptions.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I agree, and I think there's a lot of things that need to be sorted out still, you know what I mean? And the offensive line depth, I don't think you've got a clear winner there for that sixth offensive line spot to fill in for Senio Kelamete.
Right.
I think, you know, you have some questions marked there, and I wouldn't say Jamon Bushrod has looked really particularly good, so I don't know if a guy like that you hang on to just because he's a guy who's come back in a feel-good story or what. So I think there's things to work out there. I think in the secondary, they got some question marks on their back in depth. I mean, guys like Haloi Kakaha and P.J. Williams, I'd say, are absolutely on the roster bubble. Can they make a name for themselves? Or a guy like Marcus Williams, who's kind of come in, not safety Marcus Williams, but veteran
right
cornerback Marcus Williams. But
number two.
Guys like that, I mean, there's a lot of question marks we can have for entering this game, against the Rams. And, look, I think when you look at it, you're not only auditioning for the final roster, but they're going to try to shape as many people in that practice squad as they can from this as well.
Now, let me see if I can get it right without even looking at it, John. It's John J. Hendricks, if you're looking for him at Twitter, at John J. Hendricks, Canal Street Chronicles. He's already made a commitment to me. He's going to be with us the rest of the season, similar to the way he was last year, our correspondent. John, thanks so much. I appreciate your help. Always look forward to your insight.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you having me. Looking forward to it this year.
All right, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, bud. Take care.
Hey, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. We'll be right back. Y'all don't go too far, okay?
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back. It's Sports Talk Radio 97.7 and the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Tomas Mauricio. Hey, don't forget, you know what? If you want to watch the show,
VCast.
The
bro.
VCast, man. We
YouTube
doing
it.
It's on YouTube. Just look up BSN, the letter N, BSN Beer, and that's our account. And I'm sure if you just type in BS and Beer, Saints, whatever, I haven't actually looked it up. So,
and then when you go to it for the first time, subscribe. And then you can get it all the time.
And it matters. It really matters.
Man,
and
does.
The other thing, too, is we probably don't say this enough to the guys listen to us on the radio. If you miss some of the show and you want to hear it, you can go download our podcast on
Absolutely.
Podbeam is the source. You can get it on iTunes, Google Play.
Yep.
And actually, there's a ton. The way it works, man, these sites go and they just kind of grab your podcast. So you can find it almost anywhere. Just look it up. If you have an iPhone, iTunes will do it.
Sorry if you do, but go ahead.
No, man, I'm an i guy.
But anyway, yeah, you can watch it. You can, you know, and Tyler shows his cute little face on there and shows his statistics and stuff.
Look at that cute face.
Wait, I didn't mean to say cute. I was looking for a different word.
No, but I'm saying, look at the cute
Okay, yeah. Now, that's Heath's seat. That right there, that's not the
cuteness. Missing guy.
That's the radio face right there. Okay, but, yeah, the missing guy. So, but anyway, yeah, check it out, man, and hit like, subscribe. All those things matter to us. We do this. How do they say that? It's a passion of love. No, a job of love.
Whatever.
Hey, we do it for fun. So if you click on it, and you like it, we appreciate it.
A labor of love. Is that what you're trying to
say? That's what I was looking for. Thank you. All right. So I alluded to this a little bit earlier.
Unfortunately, I do a lot of things in my life as a labor of love.
Yeah.
There's no money in the checking account.
Well, I do a lot of stuff. It's just labor. There ain't no love involved. I just have to do it, you know?
So that's called a job.
That's called a job, right? So I alluded to Breeze, and maybe, I wonder, I want to get your thoughts.
Yes, sir.
On if maybe that some of our slow starts and what it might have to do with Drew Breeze not taking a lot of snaps in preseason. Now, listen, I understand why they do it. He's an older guy. You want to save his arm. You want to let the kids get some reps. He doesn't need as much. But then I say, does he need it? He came out. Now, here's the thing. He threw an interception on the first drive. But other than that,
it was a bad pass.
It was bad. It was ugly. But he was 7-for-9 for 59 yards. I wouldn't necessarily say he was super rusty. He threw a bad ball in the double coverage. Not a good look, but having said that,
but then again, could he have thrown that on purpose to see how the receiver would react to catching a ball?
I get what you're saying, and I like you always have that positive spin, but there ain't no way you're going to convince me Drew Brees is going to make himself look like a fool.
They don't count. It's preseason.
I know. He just doesn't strike me as the kind of guy.
I would say, too, I just think that it was a bad pass, you know, and that happens. Now, this season, more than others, I think that one of the reasons we saved Drew Brees' arm and time and so forth is because there was a question at quarterback. You know, we don't have anybody as a backup that has been a backup in the past. And so, therefore, it's like we have to make a decision. Now, a lot of people weren't sold on either Savage or Hill. So they were like, well, you know, who's going to work out? Savage looked like against Houston when he was playing for the Texans. Right? He wasn't that. He won one game out of 7 starts, 8 starts with the Texans. That's not too good. Okay? And he always looked like a deer in headlights. And then you have this kid Hill, who has very little experience, you know? And so a lot of people were concerned, man, do we have anybody on the team at all who could be a backup? Hell, I even heard people talk about RG4 at Tampa. He looked so good in a Tampa game. There were people saying, man, why did we let him go?
Right.
You know? Well, he just wasn't in the right place at the right time. You know, now he's developed a lot, and good for him. I'm happy for him. But now, going back to whether we play him or don't, we don't. We know what Drew can do, even if he starts slow.
But that's not the question. The question isn't if we know what Drew can do. We do know what Drew can do.
Yeah.
But could it be part of the reason we get off to these slow starts every
year? No, I don't think so. I think more than anything, it's just a question of the offense gelling. Okay, again, look right now. You're going to have only one wide receiver from last year.
Michael Thomas.
The other ones are gone. Hey, we got nobody else up there.
Well, again.
Well, but he's not going to be starting. Okay. It's going to be Traquan Smith starting.
Right.
Okay. So, to me, that's like, okay, and Cam Meredith. Okay, that's another guy. So, you're looking at two new wide receivers. Takes time to get on the same page and be intuitive about what you're playing. Okay. So, you have that. All right, running back. Ingram's going to be out for the first 4 games. Okay. I know who's going to be back up. I'll let you know later.
You let us know.
I got this picked
up already. You're going to
kiss in on it? Okay. No problem. Okay. But it's going to be somebody new. Will he block the same way? Will he make the adjustments the same way? You know, again, I think we start slow simply because we're still trying to gel. Last year, I think we started slow because we had so many injuries on the offensive line, if you remember.
Yeah, I do remember that.
You know, so I don't think everybody was up to 100% when we first started. Okay. I think when they went to Miami, when they went to play Miami in London, I think they bonded. I think they got better, you know, physically, health-wise. So there you go.
If I had to throw in my 2 cents, I would agree with you. I would say that it probably doesn't. And, you know, the proof would be to go back and just statistically look at what Drew Brees has done. And I bet it would paint a different picture than what we see, because I don't tend to remember it being like, golly, Drew Brees was so bad. I do recall
times where the offense just did not seem in sync.
And who's in charge of the offense?
And the thing about it is, like you said, it's a combination of all the things.
Yes.
Drew's not 100% sharp. He's still working things out. And it just seems like the offense sputters a little bit early.
Yeah.
And then as it catches its wind, although I don't really expect that this year. For whatever reason, I feel like there are a lot of guys who are now they're solidified in how they – the offensive line, completely solidified. Okay, we miss an Ingram, but you're still going to have Kamara and the chemistry between those guys. You have wide receivers that have played with Drew, and I get that Ginn, his role is probably going to slide back a little bit more, back into more
if
of a –
if he makes the team, yes.
Man, you keep saying that. I don't see it. But his role will slide back into being just more primarily a deep threat and let some of those bigger guys work that intermediate stuff so that he don't have to take a pounding. I mean, because he's no spring chicken. And so, Michael Thomas, the chemistry between him and Breeze.
That's already there. That's not
done.
A problem. Right.
So, I have no reason to believe, knock on wood, the offensive line didn't have a lot of guys running in and out like they did last year at this time. I mean, remember last year, man, Teron Armstead and Unger, and I'm trying to remember, at the time, Streif. You know, and there's a lot of the first game of the season, Ramchek played left tackle. You know, so there was a lot of stuff going on that the Saints were a team still trying to
figure
out.
In the third preseason game last year, we had Turner playing guard. I mean, you think back to this. Pete wasn't playing either. Pete was pushed over to where Armstead was. So Pete was playing tackle. You had Larribas playing. You had Turner playing. You had who was playing center? I don't even remember now who was playing center. It wasn't Unger. I can't remember who was playing center. Because it wasn't Tom either, I don't think. So I can't remember. We only had like one guy, Pete, playing out of position last year in the preseason game.
Right.
If you think about it. So the first season game comes along.
Your memory's better than mine. I can't go that far back, to be honest.
A lot of these guys, Unger was just stepping back into it. He started the fourth preseason game and then started the regular season game. So we don't have that problem this year. But we have other problems as far as chemistry is concerned, because we have a lot of new players. So, but now I'm going to back and say this to you. We lost the first two games, Minnesota and New England. Did we lose those because we didn't score enough points, or did we lose those because our defense wasn't playing
correctly? Well, yeah, defense was horrible. And you know what? I'll also throw this on top of that as a caveat. We're talking about one team that was in the Super Bowl and one team that was in the NFC Championship game. So we weren't playing bad teams. We
weren't
playing teams we should
have lost.
No, but
I'm just saying to you, we lost, in my opinion, we lost both of those games because of defense, not offense. So when you're saying that we started slow, I don't think we started slow. I think we just didn't have balance on both sides of the line.
Well, you're talking about the offense, though. The offense didn't start. Okay, I watched them enough, and I kind of feel like that New England game, man, we just got dismantled, and it was more defensively.
Defense,
and sometimes, you know what, like you put a lot of pressure on your offense when your defense can't stop them and you're starting at your own 20 all the time, and, you know, it does get complicated.
And when you have Vaccaro playing in space, as we did the first two games.
Matter of fact, if you're thinking that the Saints weren't, like, treating us like preseason, on our second series, we had our 3rd-and-7. What do they run? A draw play. Let's get out of here. We don't need to
just punt the ball.
Yeah, punt the ball. Nobody's worried about it. Yeah. Hey, it's the BS and Beer Podcast Crew, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two right ahead.
Please come in and just sit here for a while.